evening for President Turner, Dr. Woodson, members of the board. So we are here to provide a brief overview of diversity, equity, and inclusion in the district. I will say that it is a pleasure to present with Mr. Ritt, who's going to give an overview from the high school lens. We could potentially be here all evening talking about equity and inclusion because it is the responsibility of every single department, from HR to nutrition and technology. And I often say teaching and learning is an extension. Every department is an extension of teaching and learning. But I'm very proud of the team that I have here, and I think some women just slipped out. I do see Tim over there. But we have a really robust team of experts in their field. We have four directors, and then we have a great support staff. And so as I stated just a second ago, everything connects to teaching and learning, but also to our North Star, which is our strategic plan. So just for this evening, because again, we could talk about every department, I want to categorize it in three buckets. So professional learning, student success and access, and then school climate and family engagement. These are our three main buckets for this evening. One of the main pieces of our plan is to ensure that we have robust professional learning. We want to have structured, collaborative opportunities for teachers and staff. And so we utilize ongoing PD to build upon prior learning. One thing that we often talk about is making sure that the learning is not just for today, but that it is ongoing and continuous. And we can see that in our lessons, in our assessments. And so this is a huge portion of what we do in teaching and learning, as well as what we see through our title grants that are funded for professional development. So a few areas specifically, literacy. We know that we have a new literacy curriculum, CKLA. So there's been intensive professional development around our literacy curriculum. We just had staff training last week. Our last e-learning day. But we often have conversations about strong tier one instruction as it relates to CKLA. So that's one area of making sure that our literacy practices are coherent, that they are consistent, regardless of which building a student may attend. We also have Interrupting Racism for Children. This is a two-day training, and I will say that I when I came here in January, I commend Dr. Woodson's initiative. Every administrator is required to attend this training. And so to date, all of our administrators and our coordinators have attended the two-day training for child advocates. And so we're especially proud of the ability for our staff to attend through that partnership. And then obviously MDSS, I know that Mr. Ritt spoke about that earlier as it related to grade level support teams, but we are focused on not only having a strong MDSS system, but also making sure that we see that it's aligned across the district. We have a great lead in Jennifer Atkinson, who's done tremendous work with MDSS, and we're going to continue to build upon that. And that is an equity issue that we want to make sure we put there. We also have the Elevate framework and summer PD. I've never seen a summer PD that is so robust as I've seen here. And this was truly really a great opportunity for staff to engage in PD. And we had hundreds of staff this past summer that attended that conference. And it was completely connected to our Elevate framework. And so it's not just by happenstance, or it's not just abstract topics. It is directly connected to what we want to see in quality instruction. And so staff had opportunities to attend over 100 sessions over those 2 days, and then we continue with that through our Elevate framework, which we expect administrators to provide one walkthrough every week in their building aligned to this Elevate framework. The data analysis, we are digging more into our data, and I will say Dr. McCallick and his team have done a tremendous job to bring data to life. We are able to get real-time data. We are able to filter it through many different components, whether it's race and ethnicity, whether it's SES, whether it's special ed or ELL. We're able to filter that data and have meaningful conversations in our leadership meetings. And then take that data back and make sure that it's actionable. We had a data analysis PD last week, and the feedback that we have received is it's some of the best PD they've received to go back into the building and be impactful using the most current data, the iLearn Checkpoint data. So that is one piece of our professional learning. And then our high building honors, which we know is an equity issue. We want to make sure we're increasing access to all of our students in these programs. And so we have Andrea Cannon through her work with Mr. Blom, and we have provided two additional PD opportunities for not just cluster teachers or high ability or honors teachers, but all teachers. And then we've also provided a parent session that was well attended as well. And so these are also connected to our focus on equitable achievement. We have had three book studies, one that will be in progress fairly quickly. The one on the left, Belonging Through a Culture of Dignity, we are a part of a 5-school district book study group that includes Carmel, Clay, Warren Township, Park Pleasant, and Perry Township. And we are actually concluding that book study this week, tomorrow to be exact. And that has allowed over 100 educators to come together virtually and talk about how we can be more inclusive in our buildings. And so that has been pretty powerful. Our principals are reading The Art of Coaching Teens, not just in silo, but alongside teaching and learning to talk about how do we coach for academic excellence, for performance in our buildings. And so that is our current read. We are also, we've read The Assistant Principal by Principal Cafele. We just completed that book study, and that is also a guide for being an instructional leader as an AP and even a dean. And so that has been a great book study. And then when we talk about building capacity, we want to make sure that DEI work is not the role, the job of one person. And so what we've seen in, as an example, one of our DLI instructional coaches from Willow Lake is conducting a book study, the book on your right, Teaching for Biliteracy, and has invited members in the district to attend. And so we will begin that book study very soon. This year I have provided a Monday Minute, which has been something that I often hear about from the buildings as recently as yesterday, is valuable information. I guess I'll take that. I have 105 subscribers across the district, and essentially I send out what I consider to be a short and brief newsletter that is palatable for those that are reading it, that it's something that can be done in a short amount of time. There's typically professional development opportunities across the globe that are virtual that they can attend. There is something they can read or watch with reflective questions, and this is an example of what I send out every Monday to that group. And essentially, it's like Mr. Ritt talks about that slow drip of equity. This is what we provide every Monday to principals, to teachers, IAs, everyone in the district. This is Principal Cafele, and this is an example of our speaker series, and this is the book that our assistant principals and deans just completed. We will have a speaker series, this is tomorrow actually, and we'll engage with Principal Cafele in our principal meeting, our AP meeting. Then he'll have a few walkthroughs. He'll go over and talk with Mr. Ritt over at the high school, and then back tomorrow night to talk about how can we transform our practices to make sure they're inclusive of all of our students. And so we look forward to that. That's the first of many, hopefully, over the years, but we look forward to talking with him tomorrow night. I have also been in the buildings quite a bit. I have been requested to provide professional development, and these are some of the titles of the PDs that I've provided. Just yesterday I was in Crooked Creek providing reaching and teaching Black boys, and we look at our disproportionate outcomes in not only behavioral data but in academic data that is worthy of a conversation and more discussion about what we believe about students. And so these are PD opportunities that I've provided, not just to the buildings, but I've also had an opportunity to meet with transportation and have a PD with our transportation department. I've been over to JEL, to True North, and so really getting integrated into the schools to provide additional support in many of these areas. Student success. We know this is critical to the work that we do. We have an established DELT, District Equity Leadership Team. Every member of teaching and learning is a part of this team, every member of the support department, as well as all of our admin. So that includes all principals, all of our APs, and including our deans, because we want them to also be knowledgeable about how to use data to inform what they do in the building. And so we disaggregate our data using Power BI RPI, which is really the tool that Dr. McCallick has provided with for us. We evaluate our support programs aimed at closing gaps, so really working with Crystal Haslett, working with Jen Dotson. We look at our participation rates in our high ability and honors classes, and then dig into our college career readiness. And so we've been able to use this monthly meeting. We have about 3 hours a month, just isolated time to get together and go through data and to talk about solutions. School climate and family engagement, community coalition, of which President Turner has visited our meeting. This is just a great opportunity to engage our families and our community members. And in conversations with Crystal Haslett, the coalition was instrumental in the vaccination clinics throughout the year and supporting that through the one that was over in our middle schools. So to Wendy's point earlier, we've hosted three this year. We've been able to reduce the number of kids that would be excluded. And so we're very excited by the work that not only the coalition has done, but that our student support services have done to make sure that we are mitigating those barriers for kids. To the right, you will see our structure for Community Coalition. We want to make sure that it is solution focused. And so every meeting has a topic. Coming up on the 18th, we will talk with our student services department. So we'll talk about counseling, social work, and IEPs and 504s. And then in February, we have Mr. Ritt and his team coming to our meeting. March, we have Dr. Taylor and Chief. And then in May, we bring it all together with all of our principals to engage with Community Coalition to talk more about what we want to do for next year. Our multilingual family liaison support is instrumental in making sure that we are removing barriers. And so one of the things that I want to point out is while we have 3,500 ML families, that doesn't mean that they are English language learners. So those are two different groups of kids, although it could overlap. So we have 2,500 approximately ENL students, but we have 3,500 ML families. And one thing that I want to point out, one solution to a problem, this year we have three copiers that will translate on the spot and send it via email or print it on the spot in whatever language is needed. We have one that was installed at North Central, I think last week maybe. We have one that was installed at Willow Lake this week, and then our third one will be installed in the next few days here at CEC, so that when we have central enrollment, or we have over the summer when parents are coming and we cannot have someone there to translate, we have a copier, we can translate every single document in any language. And when you look at 72 student languages, this is an important piece that will help us connect with families. We have school counseling, and through our comprehensive program with our school counselors, we are looking at a reduction in office referrals. We're looking at an increase on iLearn specific to Black students who did not pass in sixth and seventh grade. And then obviously the big three referrals are a part of our QAR process and our DSP. And so we're looking to decrease those by 10%. And so when we think about our school counselors, they are integral in that tier one support space as well as the tier two. We conducted our Inspire You Leadership Conference. This was, I want to say this was the second year? Mm-hmm. Second year. So when I arrived in January, this was one of the first projects that I was told has to be on the calendar. Students love this project. They love this conference. It is a collaboration with CIESC, and we had over 150 students from grades 6 to 12. We had a middle school day. We had a high school day. We invited community members, members of local government, to come and talk about what it means to be a leader in the community, not just the school community, but the community in which they live. And so we will have that opportunity again in the spring, and we will pull together diverse students to be a part of that, that conference. When we look at our success, and there are many, if you remember, I talked about the Elevate walkthroughs and how important they are to our instruction And just at the elementary level, we've had over 500 that were completed in August, September, and October, and over 1,000 thus far across our entire system. That is amazing. That means that we are getting into the classrooms to take a look at solid instruction and be able to offer real-time feedback to teachers about instruction. The average attendance rate, we know attendance is a huge priority for all students in Indiana, specifically here in Washington Township, and all of our middle schools have a 95% attendance rate, and that is to be commended. We have 441 North Central students that earn their dual credit at JEL, and 41% of those were Black students, and we're extremely proud by that. Again, 100% of our administrators have completed Interrupting Racism for Children. And then in our partnership with Center for Leadership Development, we offer students an opportunity to get a 50% reduction on the fee for that career or that college fair, that very large one that thousands of students attend, and 41 students took us up on that offer for 50% reduction. This is what I'm especially proud of, and I know that Mr. Rent will also share his data specifically. But when we look at overall discipline year-to-date, same time period as last year, we have decreased in our OSS 40%, and that is tremendous. We've decreased 82% in expulsions from this time last year to now. And there are quite a few reasons. Obviously, relationships, to Mr. Rent's point, is key. We also have real-time data. We're able to look at data today, and it is today's data. It's not old data. We are operating from very current and real data, and then we can make that actionable. We're able to see the names of students who may have challenges and behaviors, and then provide tier 2, tier 3 support. And then finally here, our achievement data. We are extremely proud of being first or second in this category as we compare similar schools to Washington Township. We often see that our math data is higher than our ELA data. That is also true with our checkpoint data thus far. We're getting together to analyze our first checkpoint and to see where we see trends, but just on a surface level, we're seeing that math has continued to be higher in proficiency than ELA. But when we compare ourselves to like schools, we are first or second, but we recognize that there is a gap between our students. And so two things can be true. We can be especially proud of the work that we've done and then know that we have more work to do. And so we are working very hard to make sure we have our early warning system through OTIS, also using NTSS process and using MCLAS in our elementary space, using professional development as well as family engagement. Mr. Ritt.
Dr. Pettigrew, I want to also thank Dr. Woodson for this opportunity. I'm not up here a lot tonight because I know a lot. I'm up here satisfying some course requirements through Ball State. They really like when we present in front of the board. So thank you, Dr. Woodson, for finding opportunities for me to do this. Professional learning at North Central, just want to point out that it is embedded in the strategies that we are learning each month. We have two professional learning sessions with our teachers each month, and they have been really fruitful in advancing some of our equity work. In those professional learnings, we are focused specifically on a strategy called total participation techniques, and that is a strategy that includes all students in the learning and not just those ones who raise their hand the most. And so our teachers are learning those this semester, and we are seeing really big, huge dividends from that professional learning. And it really means all. We're not just calling on the ones who want to participate, trying to find ways to get everyone involved. We are inspecting what we are teaching on a regular basis through learning walks, and we are looking for those in the classroom. When we had our executive leadership visit this week, we asked our leaders to look for those things as well, and they've done that. Student success, we've had a substantial success at JEL. You can see those attributes there on the left. A lot of our students are involved. Our national merit recognition, we had 22 students receive national recognition based on their achievement throughout this PSAT learning cycle. And so extremely proud of that as far as success. As Dr. Pettigrew pointed out, our trends and the trajectory of our discipline looks really good early on, and we are going to just keep stacking those and building that for the year. School climate and family engagement, really partnering with our PTO and our parents. Our parents hear from me every week at 6 o'clock Sundays, faithfully. And just one story with the partnership that we're forming with our parents. We brought our finals framework to our parents recently, and really we're proud of that work. We thought it was a good framework. Our parents had some other ideas, and we took that feedback and changed our framework based on our parents' feedback. And so we took it back to WTA, we took it back to CEC, we took it back to our leadership team and changed it based on the parents' recommendation and rolled out a completely new finals framework just based on the partnership that we have with our parents. And so that's been great. Talked about our community's partnership a little bit in the spotlight, but the $29,000 award that we won for our work with work-based learning is just commendable. That's Ms. Williams there, and she helps lead our process and our partnership there. And Panorama, any parents that are watching want to make sure that when that survey comes out that you take that survey. We have a goal there to meet. We can't get better without your feedback. So that's something I just wanted to highlight in terms of family engagement, making sure that our parents' voices are heard through our Panorama survey. And this is me too. So success stories. 63% of our Black students who are enrolled in dual credit at JEL during the 23-24 school year. That's an 8% increase from the previous year. 29 students participated in the HBCU field trip over fall break. Talked about that earlier. We sent 42 students to the Indiana Latino Education Summit, and we're already making plans to bring a larger group next year. Over 215 multilingual learners are enrolled in our heritage language class this school year. As Dr. Pettigrew noted, we have seen a decrease in out-of-school suspensions, 45%, 75% in expulsions based on this time last year, and 71% decrease in virtual placement. Want to just talk a little bit about that. When we have students out of school less at this rate, that means they're learning more. And I talked about this earlier this year, that this is all connected to student achievement. We can keep students in the classroom and in our schools, they're gonna achieve higher. And so we're looking for, when we're taking those high stake tests, when we're taking our finals, that our students are gonna perform more because they're at school more. And so we're extremely proud of that. Our virtual-based learning placement being down, again, virtual learning is okay, but there's nothing like being in person. And so with the partnership here at CEC, helping us really scrutinize our discipline events to make sure that we come out with consequences or reactions, responses to students that are equitable. We can't do it without Dr. Pettigrew and her team to help us look at how we are processing these events.
Mr. Ritt mentioned this earlier, and it was $1,600,000 when this was submitted, and then it's now over $2 million. And so this just is a testament to the work in our Avid classrooms and just the work that your team, Mr. Ritt, has done, as well as the team at the middle school. This is implemented fully, helping kids learn about college and career, helping them with their motivation, their determination, their perseverance. And so this is really a great opportunity for kids in our district. And then obviously opportunities to improve. We want to improve the disproportionality that we see in discipline. It is an area that we have continued, and it's a nationwide concern. And we tend to see kids of color, kids in poverty, kids that have an IEP that are at the very top of that discipline data. So that's obviously an area of focus for us as well. Kids can't excel if they're not in the classroom. We're also wanting to increase dual credit coursework. 9% of those were Black students. We want to make sure that we're increasing that access for all kids. And then obviously, all roads lead to North Central. And the goal is graduation for all kids. And so we want to make sure that we have that opportunity for all kids to graduate from North Central, and that includes all of our siblings. That concludes our presentation.
It was
a little bit longer than I expected.
Thank you. Board, have questions? Ms. Fry?
I know I'm getting late, so I'm going to ask because I don't want to, but discipline. These numbers are staggeringly good, to be clear. I guess my first part of my question, and I don't want to take away from any of the great work you've done, but I'm wondering, are other districts seeing, I'm wondering if some of this can be explained by post-COVID, we kind of had kids lose their minds, right? And like, is some of this sort of coming back to normalization? So I'm kind of curious if this is only us, or is part of this just kind of everything level setting from COVID? I guess I'm not even sure what my question is the next part, but I mean, obviously it's part of our strategic plan. You know, it's not like we don't look at kind of this data and this information. And I mean, I've always been proud of the fact that in Washington Township, we are not kicking kids out of school unless it's like, I mean, it is a danger, a violence, like a real, genuine, like physical safety issue, right? We don't kick kids out for being disrespectful. I know. Sometimes they get sent to an officer for all, let me try to get away from that. But